It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by, once again, Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Much better.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins, and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
I believe the last words I heard Tim Jenkins say on this airwaves were advising his family, quote, "You haven't watched enough Bears." It's Tim Jenkins. We love talking to him every week. He is back for his weekly segment on The Score. He's at T Jenkins Elite on X. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He knows how to watch film like nobody I've ever seen. I love his takes. We are happy to have him back. Once again, Tim Jenkins, thanks for coming on.
I'm fired up. For a while there, I thought this was going to be a very happy Tuesday. And we're bummed.
I'm scared because this is real, right? What we're about to do right now, Tim, you're about to take us through what you saw last night. And I guess I want to start off with this. What do we learn about Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams from last night's game?
Let's talk with the positives. I think first for me, the biggest positive was, I think, what every Bears fan is probably feeling, which is, hey, we finally scored on an opening drive. Right. I think when you watch the film, what I took away was we played really fast, decisive, efficient on the opening drive, as you would expect. Right. They're all scripted. We've repped these a ton. And then it started slowly getting back to flashes of brilliance. We seem uncertain with our eye placement. We seem uncertain with our feet. I joked about it on the breakdown. Right. I broke down 27 clips today. I kind of joked about it, which is like, listen, as someone who's analyzed the Bears a lot, I'm learning alongside this offense, I feel like, right? Because for me, it's like, I don't have 17 games of Ben Johnson to say like, oh, hey, here's where our eyes definitely need to be. I'm sitting there kind of saying, okay, hey, where do I think I would want my quarterback's eyes on this play? Unfortunately, it felt a lot of times like I'm sitting there scanning the field right alongside Caleb Williams, which is not what should be happening, right? I shouldn't be sitting in my office in Denver thinking, I'm not sure where I'd put my eyes. And then simultaneously, our guy on Monday Night Football, more or less based on his footwork and his eye placement, it kind of felt the same. So I think that first drive, there's a lot of positive takeaways. After that, it kind of just felt like we were back in this roller coaster of we would make really high-end plays that I don't think there's many guys in the NFL that can make, but we just didn't make enough of the boring plays to run an efficient offense.
I think that was a really good point, Tim. It felt like that watching it for us as well. I think Marshall and I talked about it. Mark Grody was at the game last night. The first drive felt disruptive. The first drive felt like, oh, these are different things. We all said as a collective, we feel like it was very clear that the objective was do not get sacked. Whatever you do, come hell or high water, do not get sacked. Then we saw more of the typical behavior we had seen where, yes, on the run, the throws are there. You know, the beautiful plays, the stuff that makes a highlight reel, there's no doubt that that talent is evident. It's just, what are you doing with the boring stuff? What are you doing in the pocket? What was your impression of, for example, what Caleb Williams did in the pocket after drive number one?
Well, and this is where I'm not going to give like a great answer for the fans, but like, honestly, the frustrating part for me is I don't know truly what's getting coached in that building. Right. Like we none of us really know. Hey, we know what they're saying forward facing to the media. We don't know what's actually getting coached in the quarterback room. Here's what I'll tell you is I'm going to sound a little funky saying this based on everything that you heard on the broadcast on Monday night and everything that I feel like Ben's been saying to the media. We got to hold the ball a split second longer. And I don't mean that as in we need to hold the ball and scramble around and make a play. But man, we had some shots downfield that if he doesn't get to his – if he gives one more hitch, one more reset, and doesn't get to his back so fast, we're generating huge chunk plays versus, hey, flipping it out to Swift, which, you know, on the first drive looked good. There were a couple later. But if we're being honest, after that, it was more or less like we're dirting these flat routes, right? It wasn't like, you know, those first few drives, you saw him throw the floater out to Swift and Swift gets 10 yards. We didn't see that a ton, really, especially after the phantom hold, right, which kind of backed him up, which, again, that was a terrible break for the offense. But, man, there's some stuff downfield that if we have a click longer or if we just hold up in protection ever so slightly, you know, they ran a pistol concept. You know, if you want to sound smart at your football tailgate, right, pistol, we got a post in and in, right? Pistol, post in. We had a pistol concept where DJ Moore's on the post. The safety jumps the in route. He's wide open. He is, I mean, as open as they get, but guess what? We have a run through, and then that's the one that turns into the scramble where the, you know, the Viking linebacker, he pulls his hamstring, Caleb gets 18 yards, points for the first down. Everybody's excited, but listen, it should have been a touchdown. And if you throw that touchdown, we run the Vikings out of the building, right? We had a lot of chances in an offense to you know, finish the game, right? To get it to where it's truly unreachable. Instead, we never really delivered that blow. They hang around, a couple of things break their way, and, you know, and now we're sitting here talking about, man, you know, we're, you know, everybody's frustrated versus, you know, hey, Ben Johnson's 1-0, the Bears are going in the right direction. So to me, it's like, man, if he can hold it a split second longer on those shot plays, I think we're in a way better spot as an offense.
So then I think, and you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, that Caleb Williams, at least for this night, was consumed to a large degree with not taking sacks. Like, it seemed like that was then one of the number one edicts was, I'm guessing, from Ben Johnson, was whatever you do, don't take the sacks. If you have to, get out of there and run your ass off, because there were many times last year where he would just sit in the pocket too long and like the coverage would just fold around him and he would just become smothered. So do you think that that has something to do with it, as opposed to maybe the offensive line not giving him the time?
I think, you know, hey, there's run throughs, right? If you have run throughs as an O-line, listen, I coached third grade tackle football for my oldest son. We got run throughs too, right? It's going to happen at every level. Like, run throughs are run throughs. They are what they are, but you're dead on from that standpoint. And I think it's so funny because it's such a fine line, right? Holding the ball to me has always applied in quick game and downfield. So downfield meaning 12 yards and underneath, quick game meaning minus line of scrimmage to 5, right? That's where I've never wanted to see quarterbacks hold the ball in downfield or quick game, right? Hey, get through your progression, get the ball to your hand, scramble, throw it away, whatever it is. Shot plays, this is where the nuance of the coaching comes in, because it's like quick game downfield, we don't want to hold the ball, we don't want to take sacks. But shot plays, man, we're calling them for a reason, right? We got to look on tape, whatever it is. We love this play. We want to generate the home run. That's where it's like, man, you know, hey, can we hold it a split second longer? Can we navigate the pocket just a little bit more before we, you know, we call it a fire drill, right? Before we full blow out of there, right? Can we just navigate the pocket, massage the pocket a little bit more to drive the ball down the field? So it's like, I'm sure you're dead on in that Ben's been hammering him. Hey, don't hold the football. Don't hold the football. Where to me, it's like, I need to see, I want to see that growth is, can we get the ball out of our hands in quick game and downfield? And then when we know, hey, this is a premier play against a premier look, can we hold it that split second longer? And then, you know, and again, I'm not knocking Caleb. I'm just saying, like, in general, be knowledgeable enough in this offense to know I have this premier play. Let me hold it. Because if you were sitting there and on that pistol concept and you saw Caleb take a sack because he was trying to navigate the pocket, but you saw DJ Moore wide open, to me on tape, that's not an awful sack. That's a quarterback who knows, man, I've got a great look. This is exactly what we want. I'm going to try to navigate the pocket to throw a touchdown. Now, if you are holding the ball and we're running sticky, right, a stick and an arrow, get it out of your hand, right? That's nightmare fuel. But the concepts that are there, it's almost like I almost want to see him aware enough of, hey, I can hold the football on this play because we have a great look. And at times I felt like it's like third and 12. Hey, just flip it out there. And it's like, shoot, man, we got DJ Moore. He just killed this corner on third and 12 on just a what we would call an Oklahoma six-step speed out. He's wide open, and we're just flipping it out to our tight end. And it's like, dude, let's hang on that one. That's one that we can hang on. And that's what I'm guessing are the conversations right now in the building, honestly.
We're talking football with Tim Jenkins. He of T Jenkins Elite on Twitch. He's also on YouTube. You can check out his breakdown on the Bears here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And I forgot to mention, he's also on Twitch. He has a great background in his office. You can check that out, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. One of the things, Tim, that I do want to talk about as far as scheme and what we've been able to see out of how the offense is constructed was the use of pre-snap motion. I know that that is a huge difference from what we saw the Bears do last year. Not only that, but there were different kinds of motion. We saw the motion being utilized to try to show different looks from the Vikings to get information. I know that that's going to come with some false start penalties. I understand that it's not why I'm as concerned in week one, although they did hurt. What did you think of what you saw out of how this offense is constructed to have more of that pre-snap?
I mean, I think you nailed it, right? Way more than we've ever seen from a Bears offense in recent history. So to me, it's like, I think they were doing a good job with it. I think obviously you're dead on from the standpoint of operationally, it kind of was a little messy, right? And I think what we sometimes take for granted too is getting out of the huddle operationally, you know, every shift, every motion, right? That's four more words. You know what I mean? You're sitting there and you're in, hey, instead of just saying twins right, yo, for the formation, you're saying, hey, twins right, yo, you know, F counter, or hey, blast to twins right, yo, F counter. So that, you know, you're adding verbiage. So then you're a little bit slower to the line. Then you're trying to, one of the motions early where Caleb burned the timeout, you could tell it was what we would call like a counter motion where they come across the center and then return to their spot. You could tell he's trying to get the guy to shorten it. Like he was saying, hey, just go back. You know, he just wanted a quick one because he knows, okay, I got 3, 2, and then 1, and then he burns the timeout. So, of course, you're going to get those pre-snap. You're going to get a couple of penalties. We got to get that cleaned up. You're going to get a couple of operational things. I mean, shoot, it even showed up on the second to last play, right? We timed the motion wrong, and DJ gets hit with the football on whatever chunk play we were trying to generate at the end. So, I think I'm more optimistic, like you, I would say, of, hey, I think this offense needs it. It's going to give us some more man zone indicators. It's going to give us some leverage wins at times, right? There were a couple of third downs that – we just stole it where it's like, hey, we use motion to get outside leverage. We run it out. We hit him. Like those are the kind of things that in the NFL, if you can convert a 3rd and 6 by just stealing it with a leverage motion, how great is that? So I do think it's going to be positive for this offense. You nailed it though. It's going to come with the growing pains, whether those be, you know, a delay of game, getting out of the huddle late, or, you know, our line just not used to the double cadence that comes along with it. I think they'll clean those things up quickly, though. If there was anything that I was going to kind of bet on cleaning up from, you know, week 1 to 2 to 3, I think it's those kind of operational items.
Tim, I'm curious, after you evaluated the film from this first game and understanding how there will be growing pains along the way, my biggest issue right now is just the straight up accuracy of Caleb Williams, whether that's getting it to his receiver, just the ball placement when he does. How long should we expect this to take to catch up to maybe what Ben Johnson's drawing up and what he wants out of his quarterback? Is that a half the season thing? Is that a all season long thing? How would you characterize that?
I mean, listen, I don't know. You guys need me. You guys are nailing it. If I'm being honest with you, I think that's like, to me, the biggest concern too, because you can live with the fact that, hey, okay, a couple of these concepts, I think his eyes were in the wrong spot. We're going to get it coached up. We had guys open, right? I always joke about them. They're concept dimes, meaning, hey, you know, our coach dialed it up. We won. We just need to give it an easy football, right? If you're scheming guys open in the NFL, you're doing a good job. So there were a lot of concept wins out there, right? A lot of concept dimes where guys are open. The thing that you hinted at, which is the concern, is we had a couple that were just flat out weird misses, like not what we're used to seeing Caleb do, or really any quarterback we hold in that high standard in the NFL, right? You throw a Tim Jenkins out there, sure, we're going to miss DJ Moore by a mile on fourth down, right? That's, you know, if you want to see that, you come watch my family turkey bowl. I'm doing the same thing. So to me, it's like, yeah, that's, I think the biggest area of concern is Some of these checkdowns were kind of dirting them. You know, we had a couple of big misses. Even the Komet seam late, like, you know, Cole makes a heck of a play there. The Rome one on the corner, you kind of say, okay, hey, there's that flash again where that's just a great football. Rome's got to make that catch. So, I mean, I'm with you. If there is any, I don't think the eye's in the wrong spot. I don't think the operational things week one are a reason to panic. I really don't. I think, hey, we'll grow. That to me is a cause of major concern if you're sitting there saying, hey, we've got guys open, our footwork was right there, and we just airmailed it. Like, that's unacceptable. That, you know, that DJ Moore ball late, there's some throws that you sit there and you go, man, this is not who we've come to know. Like, I don't remember seeing that on tape last year from Caleb, really, right? Where it's like, hey, just a flat out bad miss. And there's three or four that you could point to, including the Rome third down where he's just way behind him in kind of the screen game. So that's, if you were going to, you know, if you were one of those guys who you don't like Caleb Williams, that's what you point to this week and say, that's giant issues that I don't know how fixable they are truly in season. If, like, we're just flat out spraying it, that's a huge issue.
What if you do like Caleb Williams? You mentioned the great throw to Rome that Rome missed. What was good from Caleb Williams that you saw, Tim?
I mean, if you want to sell the, hey, the optimism sell to me is when his eyes were in the right, when his eyes were in the right spot, his feet were in the right spot, he was playing really good football. Like, and I know people don't like it, but that first check, you know, the second check down of the night where the Minnesota Vikings all bail out of there and he just gets it to his back right over the middle and it's a 10-yard gain. That's good football, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime you see a Mike linebacker plus 10, you get to your back right away. That's good football. The scramble TD, you know, all the scrambles, like, there's not a lot of guys right now taking snaps under center in the NFL that can get out of some of the stuff he was getting out of last night. So to me, like, those are the things you build on. The Rome scramble ball, like, that's as flat out as good as it gets. To me, like, there were a couple of DJ Moore shots where DJ holds up on the in route. He bangs him again. Like, the velo that it takes to make that throw to where then there's yak after, that's as good as it gets. If you're in the optimistic camp, you're saying also from an operational standpoint, you know, a lot of people act like, hey, it's not that hard. Getting out of the huddle with some of those paragraph play calls, like, that was really good work, really good movement in the right direction. So to me, that's kind of like what you could hang your hat on. You could say, okay, hey, we got a lot of operational stuff out of there. When he was in the right spot, he played efficiently. Now it's about getting his eyes into the right spot more often and or cleaning up the concepts from a progression standpoint, right? Like, I'm putting this all at the feet of Caleb just because we've seen what Ben Johnson's offense was like with Goff after a couple of years doing it. So a lot of me thinks, okay, hey, Caleb was probably in the wrong spot. Listen, if you know, on some of those concepts, Ben was coaching him to have his eyes there. Ben's got to clean that up too, right? Like, simultaneously, this is the relationship aspect of it, of, you know, I'm saying a lot of stuff's on Caleb. That very well could be, hey, they coached him to put his eyes there first, and they need to clean it up and get his eyes in a different spot.
If you want to see more from Tim Jenkins, you can go to his YouTube page, All Things QB, hosted by Tim Jenkins. His Caleb Williams breakdown in the same Twitch background he has now is already up to about 5,000 views. We'll give you a few more. Tim Jenkins, we're looking forward to having you on every week. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Tim. We will have more with Tim throughout the season. I know we're looking forward to it, but now I feel like it's becoming a day after a Bears game tradition.
It has to be.
You know what that music means. We asked for them. You delivered the meatball machine, your voice messages about the Bears, and who knows what else. I'm interested to go on this odyssey. We will do it together. Not our company odyssey, but the actual
Odyssey
with the O. Before we lose the steam, let's preview it. We'll do that next here in Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brody.
listen to the Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Hey guys, check out this meatball machine.
Yes! I was so excited for this. We do this after every Bears game, and sometimes just because let's face it, that's kind of how technology works. You learn how to fold it in, and then the next thing you know, the internet's a series of tubes. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody, and we ask for you to leave a voicemail on our Odyssey app. You can do it anytime. You can vent about anything. I don't care. Neither does the meatball machine, but our producers, they do. So they put together the best of your reactions. We bring you the first meatball machine of the new Bears season.
Fake Bears are the ones who showed up to start the game, and then the real Bears showed up before the game ended. Another long season.
So sad.
Fake Bears and real Bears.
Like, that's so sad. His tone, he was genuine about that, too. Like, he felt like he got okie-doked. We all got okie-doked, let's be honest.
That kind of sounded like, too, he was like, he couldn't sleep. Like, he's laying in bed, and he's like, screw it, I'm calling this meatball machine.
That's what we want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay, go on.
Hello there, from all the way down in Atlanta, where we're not going to talk about the other thing that happened tonight. But hey, you know, at least now we know that it wasn't the coach, it wasn't the quarterback, it wasn't the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, the tides, the moon, the sun, or the stars. It's just the Bears. We're cursed. We're doomed. It's always ever going to be this way because, f*** it. But hey, I got tickets to go see the Cubs tomorrow, and I'm going to watch them probably get shut out again. But hey, score one run again. But hey, you know.
Wrigley.
Fun.
They could win, though. It's Cade Horton on the mound.
Oh, wait. It's Atlanta. Sorry.
We said the same thing about Shohei Imanaga, remember?
Quality start. Right?
Yeah.
Quality start.
Here we go.
No, that was going around.
Next meatball.
Okay.
Hi, I'm just really frustrated with this Bears loss because I wish they would, like, especially win because it was Monday Night Football. Could the coaching staff somehow get the team ready to win when it's a nationally televised game?
Sorry. I told her not to call.
I'll give some context. That was Donna at 3:30 in the morning. So
Donna at 3:30 was bringing the heat.
Year in, year out, it's the same thing. Over and over again. There is a virus in this organization somewhere. I don't know where it is, but there's something. It's not fair to the wonderful fans in this city to consistently roll out this garbage. People are worse after they walk in the door. I'll start with the strength and conditioning coach. These ridiculous popped up soft tissue injuries, taking some of the best players off the field. It just smells bad. The whole thing stinks. And the fact we got to sit around and go through this charade of garbage over and over again. We got 16 more games to watch this.
That was incredible.
That man's got a set of pipes on him.
I now need to reevaluate every decision I made in my life yesterday because of him.
Was that an XRT jock? He's like, there's some Foo Fighters for you.
Here's Dish World.
Sir, I need you to call back again up and tell us who you are because we could use you for some voice work.
Here's some Dishwalla on XRT. Fontaines, D.C.
Great band.
I love Fontaines.
The latest album is so good.
Dude. Oh, we have come together on a band. Oh, my God. They just keep churning out songs, too.
The song favorite. Yeah. Excellent.
We got to talk to you about another band later, right. Groats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we do. Here's
more
some
meatballs.
Tori Amos.
That was really just a soul-crushing game. I don't know, man. They paid Ben Johnson all this money. He doesn't know how to handle the timeouts. The team looks exactly like every other Bears game. Caleb Williams looked like the worst quarterback in his draft class. I don't know, man. Is it the Bears? Is it just the franchise? Is it just destined to be this way? I'm losing hope here. One game, and I'm shattered.
Just Harvey
shattered.
Danger.
Oh,
shattered.
And he's in a wind turbine.
I get it, man. I get it. He's these people are in pain.
Yes.
He sounded like he was on the runway getting ready to rock out of town. Like, this is it. I am leaving town, boy.
Okay.
I'm out.
More meatballs.
Hey, Caleb Williams, stop thinking about being Superman. You just got your ass beat by Clark Kent. Throw the damn ball.
Oh.
Is J.J. McCarthy Clark Kent in the scenario?
I guess he is.
But Clark Kent becomes... But... More meatballs!
All y'all fell for the same Bears optimism crap like last year and the year before. They're 2 years away from being average at best. They're going to have 4 wins this season, if that.
There's fits in the tantrums.
This is Raheem Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. There is no fits in the tantrums. Oh,
we're just listening to the meatball machine taking us through our emotions.
Grody has gone full XRT
totally,
DJ
man.
Mode now.
Totally. Here's Depeche Mode.
What part of a quarterback not being able to throw a football through a tire don't you folks understand? And why are you shocked that when 300-pounders are trying to kill him, that he can't throw the ball through the tire then? Answer that.
Here's Hosier.
Is this about the net drill? Was that about the net 100% drill?
100% about the net drill, yeah.
Ah. Who's next on XRT?
Here comes Yes on XRT.
Hey, score host. Did Montez Sweat play last night?
What? Oh, he said score hosts.
Yeah, score hosts.
Because
yeah.
I did not think that at first. I was missing a consonant.
Here's Blur.
Montez Sweat batted a ball down. I saw it with my own eyes on the replay. He batted a ball down.
I just can't believe how shattered the city is. I understand it was. What? It's
Robbie.
Robbie, don't do this. No, Robbie. Don't do this,
it's
Robbie.
One game.
Robbie, it's
when,
one.
When I feel like people are like, you guys aren't from here. You don't know anything. Layla's never even seen this city. I feel like half of the time they're attributing your reactions to me.
Yeah, Robbie.
Because I know. I knew it was coming.
So you think they're justified for being this so crushed that they think the season's done?
Robbie, listen to more of them and you tell me. Let's go.
Hey, Meatball Machine, it's the morning after, and just scrolling through some memes, there's one photo. It's Ben Affleck smoking and looking up to the heavens with his eyes closed, just with a I hate my life look on his face, wearing a bear sweater. Very apt. Now, depending on how badly we play against the Lions, we could transition over to a Ben Affleck meme where you actually see his god-awful back tattoo. But maybe somebody will, you know, edit that and put a Bears logo on there, too. But, God, I'm miserable.
There's so many upset, or not even upset, just like frustrated Ben Affleck pictures to choose from.
And you know what he's listening to? The Lumineers.
Well, speaking of songs, this is our last Meatball Machine, and it can't be a Meatball Machine without a song. So, here we go.
When I talked to you last week, I said I was hopeful we could retire this song, but the Bears are gonna bear. The Bears are gonna bear. They snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. The Bears are gonna bear. Oh, I hate what this team has done to me.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Maybe next year? I don't know.
I like the remix. I like the new lyrics. I don't know why I forgot to call for the recorder. Robbie, you don't know about the recorder Bear Down, do you?
Oh, he can find that real
Do you know
quick.
About...
That was one that was birthed of when I was last hosting in this position on the Midday Show. The Bear Recorder was created by Greg Overtone, our friend who is the guitar teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, Recorder Bears has got to be in the rotation.
There it is.
That's where the second quarter came in.
How would you tease that for XRT, Grody?
Florence Radiohead. The Machine.
I'm pretty sure that was the missed field
over.
Goal.
The dog days.
Here's the
are
holding
over.
Penalty. That was the hold.
I'm letting it play. Sorry, audience.
No, it's appropriate.
Here comes Black Keys. Okay.
We deserve this as a city.
I don't think I've ever gotten through the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, but now that I have, yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh no, I could diagram the song by what I saw in the game last night. It was like it started out
like
good.
Each bad point.
That's the first drive. The little squeak at the top is the phantom hold. Then you had like the touchdown to give you some hope. But then you had the kick that we didn't get the 2-minute warning on.
You know what did it for me? The J.J. McCarthy, like, naked bootleg, where it's just like, oh, nobody's going to get him.
Oh. Justin Jefferson's like, oh, I play football. Me and my 30 carats of stones. That chain was amazing.
And
your Alabama shakes.
Mark Grody.
I love when you say band names.
Hey, Mark, can I ask you for something?
Yes, you may.
If I were to switch the samples on a meatball machine,
yeah,
how would that sound today?
You switch the samples so you can make Provasic.
Is there a football version of Provasic?
You switch the samples.
Let's see.
It really does.
You switch the offense so you can run the ball.
What about just switch the head coach?
Ooh, well, I'm not. Oh, wait a minute. You want to switch the head coach? There was a man.
Switch the samples.
Unlock me.
We took him out of XRT DJ mode. He's already there.
What are you talking about?
What other radio station can we get out of you?
We got the Cure coming up here in just a little bit. Yeah, that's right.
Speaking
unlock
of
me, unlock me.
You find this man. You find that offense.
Wait, I didn't actually think that was a line from the movie. I just thought it was something you said to add to the character.
Oh no, he's on it.
Unlock me.
Oh my god. Do you know I've been doing that impersonation since the 90s? Isn't that crazy?
Well,
like
sounds
this is
right.
This impersonation has lasted over like 5 different radio stations.
It has sustained different
it
decades.
It is. It's the most sustainable movie quotes.
That is
ever.
That is older than the Bears quarterback and also the Vikings quarterback.
Oh my god, is it older than the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
speaking of music, I have a question for you, Mark Grote.
Oh yeah.
Why do bands keep ruining Chicago sports venues? Episode 2 of a series is next on 670 The
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
The Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In the words of one band that Mark Grody loves, wake up! This is Raheem
and makeup.
This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. And he was very excited about the System of a Down concert, so excited that he thought it was a month earlier than when it actually was at Soldier Field.
I did.
So is he the one that kicked up all the grass, the turf?
I thought it was the Radiothon night, and I was like, I mean, I got to work with Parco, so I was very conflicted, and then I was like, oh my god, I was wrong.
And then I volunteered to work for you because yeah. I know how important metal is. That's really what it comes to. I wouldn't qualify that as metal. It's just rock. But I know how important rock is.
Yeah.
Everybody needs metal. Yeah. You need to rock. Like, everybody needs to rock at some point.
It's true. I needed to rock that night. It was the greatest decision, game time decision that I have ever made because System of a Down was sick at Soldier Field.
So, System of a Down, Oasis, and who is the other band that I'm missing who played at Soldier Field?
Avenged Sevenfold. Well, they opened
Avenged
up for System of
yes,
Down.
And didn't they have the pop-up shop that you said had a line that was like blocks long?
It was unbelievable. Like, I never realized how diehard some of the Avenged Sevenfold. I didn't really know much about Avenged Sevenfold. I'd heard of them. I heard their hits, but they were good. They were fun.
So let's rewind to March, where your girl went to the Disturbed concert.
Yes.
Because it was the
that
25.
Was indoors, right?
Yes. That was 25 years of the sickness at the United Center. And I had a really good time at that show. It was a lot of fun. They played all the hits. It was a really fun crowd. It was a good time to be had. I did wail the hair a little bit. I had banged a little bit, jumped up and down, that type of thing. But I was with responsible fellow olds who, you know, we don't want to hurt our backs and whatnot. So that was a lot of fun. I thought we had good, clean, responsible fun at the Disturbed show. And I even saw some Score listeners who listened. So that was really fun, too. You know, you get a little community at the Disturbed show. So I leave and I'm like, wow, that was pretty great. A lot of fun. Went home. Then I saw the headline. Disturbed show damages banners at the United Center. So that was unfortunately the case where I go back and I look at the videos because I was like, oh, yeah, what about the Disturbed show would cause this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, the giant wall of fire. Yeah, that would, yep, that would do it. They had a bunch of scaffolding and it was on fire for most of the show. So I was like, okay, there's that. So they ended up fixing the banners. The banners were actually done in time for at least the last two home games of the regular season, I want to say, at the United Center. So after a brief disappearance, the banners were restored. Then we get the report that from Courtney Cronin at 3:42 yesterday. Several members of the field crew at Soldier Field are surveying the turf right now and placing a sand seed mix in areas that need to be filled on the playing surface. The field was resodded after a stretch of five concerts at the end of August. Grody.
Oh, this is my fault now because I was complicit and I contributed to the attendance at Soldier Field?
Yes.
Okay.
Wake up!
Makeup. Marshall, go ahead.
What do you have to say for yourself?
That's the beginning of the Molly and Haw show, by the way, isn't it?
It is. That, yeah, I've heard it many times live because, you know, I'd be up doing things at that time.
Do they know that it's System of a Down? That's what I want to know.
I bet.
They do not because I was Molly the one does. That put that together. No.
No.
They have no idea.
Now we've moved into Q101.
Why has System of a Down...
Wake up! Why did you put on a little makeup? Come on, play a little bit more of it, Robbie.
The rest of it is the morning show.
Yeah, I think that was the actual opening.
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan.
Yeah, I think it was the actual opening to the morning show.
Bears.
They don't even know how big a System of a Down fans they are.
Can the bands please stop messing with Chicago sports? I know Disturbed would be pretty disappointed because they came out to the Bulls theme.
Yeah.
But like, what do you have to say for Oasis, Grody?
You know what? I was not at Oasis. I did not feel the need to go see Oasis. I know that shocked you, Layla, because it should be my wheelhouse.
You're a Gen Z Gen X man. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, it did.
If somebody had offered me a ticket to go to Oasis, absolutely. But that was the kid. That's one of those bands where, yeah, I would have gone to Oasis. I didn't need to go to Oasis. I needed to go see SOD, System of a Down. That's what the cool kids say.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
Yeah, S-O-A-D. I was like, SOD. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Marshall quit concerts earlier.
Look at the top text. Look at read it. Go ahead, read it. Somebody read the
Gross,
top text.
Did you see SOD? I was there on Sunday. Did you also mess up the field, Dodger boy?
I want to be. Ray? You want to jump in on this?
Wasn't it Rammstein when they fixed the turf? Matty Refluse was correct. They did need Bermuda grass. That was for sure the case.
Oh, yeah, bro. Oh, the Bermuda grass? Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like a mix.
Oh, yeah.
I like a hybrid.
You're a hybrid guy. Yep, yeah, I saw you waiting at Sunnyside the other day. You're up there in the vape line. I see you. Verilife. That's what Ryan Sandberg used to endorse.
Yeah, I remember you told me the story about Ryan Sandberg.
I told you that story?
Sharing a cackle. An all-out cackle.
I told this a couple times, but Ryan Sandberg used to do the Verilife. He endorsed Verilife, which sells weed. So he was at the Toast to Harry Carey's, and this is when I lived near Navy Pier, and I was listening to Parkins and Spiegel, I think, at the time that were doing the show, and I was like, you know what? And I heard that Sandberg was there, so I was like, I'm going to go over there and see some people, see if I could hang out with Sandberg a little bit. And so we were just, you know, and one of the things that I, because Sandberg's such a reserved human being, so I loved making him laugh. And so just kind of we're hanging out, I'm trying to loosen him up a little bit. I go, hey, you got any of that? Get any of that Verilife product on you? And, you know, like looking around, I'm like, and he let out a belly laugh. Like Ryan Sandberg has this like when he's really laughing.
I've heard it. I've seen it.
Barreling with laughter. He's like, he just thought that was the bee's knees. Did we go out and get stoned? No. Did he have Verilife on him? No. But he thought like he practically spit out his drink when I said
just
that.
Just imagine like your serious uncle or grandfather just losing it. That's what it comes off.
That's
as.
What it was. That's what it was with Sandberg. Yeah, it's like all of a sudden it's like out of nowhere this burst of laughing, and I was like mic drop, I'm out of here, I'm walking home back to my place.
So let me get this straight, you asked Ryan Sandberg at a station event if he had any weed?
Why are you snitching on my man like that?
You got any weed?
That was kind of
a victimless crime.
It's legal. It's legal. It doesn't matter. And he did not have it. Well, maybe he did. I mean, he was laughing like a little kid, too. Like, he was sort of like...
Had a little something in the back.
I might have something in his back. I can't admit that to you right now.
I love the Zach Zaidman background laugh.
Oh, you think that's what's going on up in the booth? You think there's a little Verilife up there?
I did think, Zach Zaidman will laugh at stuff in the background of things.
Oh, yeah. Well, mate.
In the foreground as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad you told that story. But that still doesn't make up for the fact that you ruined the field.
Yeah, I officially am sorry. But guess what? Guess who's on my side? A gentleman, by the name of Serge Tankian, the Armenian rocker, the lead singer of System of a Down.
I'm so glad you got to go.
You know, like it's one of those decisions where all day long I was like, do I really want to do this? Because nobody wanted to go with me in the first place. Like, people are like, I don't know, man.
Carm didn't want to go.
I don't want to go. I don't know much about a sod. I don't want to hear about it. It's not going to happen.
Sod, whatever.
And I'm
Dan Levy didn't want to go?
Dude, I'm trying to get tickets from him because he's
in
got links.
In the world.
Dude, I don't have tickets for you. But so I was like, all day long.
Too.
Yep.
I'm glad you figured out what I was doing.
I mean...
System of a what? So I don't know.
Bought the ticket, went myself.
We got to run, guys.
Had an aisle seat, and it was the greatest decision of my life.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, Mark Grody now has to fix the Bears turf. That's what I heard.
Bears. It did look awful, like the pictures that I saw. So.
Oh, no. Yeah. Spiegel and Holmes are next.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.